In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. Massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view. The continents show the speckled, electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and a massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company. In a logo, a man and child stand on a ridge overlooking a lush valley. Perfect World Pictures. A train travels on a raised track in a city. Our view moves backward between buildings, stopping before a restaurant bar with large windows. We close in on the neon sign, which forms a logo. RK Films. In colorful animation, we move into an office where a wavy-haired man gives his bag to a dog. Birds drape a white lab coat onto the man.
There once was a peculiar doctor, known for his extraordinary ability.
He examines a hippo.
He could talk to animals.
A crowd watches the doctor.
Dr. Doolittle's reputation spread far and wide. Even the Queen of England called on him. So grateful for his help, she gifted him a wondrous sanctuary whose doors were open to all creatures.
A woman arrives on a balloon.
His days belonged to the animals, but his heart belonged to one woman.
She smiles at Doolittle.
Lily, the fearless explorer. They traveled the globe, going on great adventures, defending creatures who could not defend themselves.
Doolittle frees a gorilla and gives it a blanket. In the snow, he gives his own hat to a shivering polar bear.
They made an extraordinary team. Soon, that team became a family.
Animals travel with the couple.
With Lily by his side, Doolittle never felt more alive. Until one day, she left on an adventure.
Lily sails on a stormy sea. With tears in her eyes, she gives her wedding band to a parrot. The bird returns to the house.
Lily died at sea.
The parrot gives the ring to Doolittle. The other animals console him.
Heartbroken, he locked the gates of the manor and completely retreated from the world. As for me and the animals whose lives he'd saved, we were left to wonder, could anyone save his?
The animation ends on a view of the Doolittle Manor gates. Three people enter a forest.
Until one morning, a most unlikely creature found its way into Doolittle's life. A very special boy. In a time where people thought of animals only as possessions, food, or sport, this boy felt quite differently.
Hunting by a pond, the young teen boy crouches with a man and an older boy. They hold shotguns. The young teen gazes fondly at a squirrel who struggles to reach an acorn.
This way, my scattered squirrel.
The man turns the boy's head.
Junior flushes him. You shoot him, yeah?
Right. Good plan, Dad.
Get ready. Shoulder your gun.
Do I have to, Uncle?
Come on, boy.
The boy aims.
Duck! Duck! Duck!
Startled ducks fly out of the pond. The boy aims at a duck.
Oh, no, I can't!
Closing his eyes, the boy fires. Birds fly from the trees.
You can't keep missing on purpose.
Oh, look! He hit something this time!
The squirrel lies on the ground. The young teen boy kneels over the injured rodent with an alarmed expression.
Oh, no.
We have to help him.
Why? You have to leave an animal suffering. Not on our error.
The boy's uncle offers him a knife. Frowning, he reluctantly takes it. His uncle and cousin walk away.
He's a very odd boy.
The brown-haired young teen gazes after them. He looks down at the struggling squirrel. Nearby, the parrot perches on a branch. The boy notices the bird.
Follow Polly.
Polly flies off. The boy runs through the forest. The parrot leads him to Doolittle Manor. The closed gates feature images of animals. Holding a leather satchel, the boy reads a weathered sign.
Home of Dr. John and Lily Doolittle. We treat all animals.
He opens the bag's flap, revealing the injured squirrel blanketed by a mitten. The boy pounds on the gate.
Uh-oh. Follow Polly.
Polly flies off, leading the boy to an opening in the base of the stone wall.
Sigma Tankus!
Cradling the satchel, the boy crawls through the tunnel. He emerges into a meadow on the sanctuary grounds, filled with yellow wildflowers. Countless butterflies rise from the grass as he stands. Elephants, capuchin monkeys, giraffes, and peacocks wander in the meadow. Resembling a small castle, Doolittle's manor house stands in the distance. Polly flies in front of the boy, who takes a breath. He runs across the meadow with Polly leading the way. Elsewhere on the grounds, a giraffe walks by hedgerows. The boy stands nearby. He looks between the hedges and spots Polly flying around a corner. He apprehensively walks after the bird.
Polly, where'd you go?
He spots wildflowers shaking nearby. The polar bear sits up among the flowers, wearing Doolittle's hat and eating berries. The large white bear spots the boy, who nervously backs away. The bear swallows his food and starts to approach.
Good dog.
The boy steps into a trap and a net scoops him up. He dangles from a tree. The polar bear stands on its hind legs and points at the boy. Polly arrives. The bear lowers to all fours and turns to the bird. In the manor house, a white duck with a wooden leg walks on a chessboard and quacks. A man startles and pulls his hand off a document titled Gorilla's Guide to Confidence. Birds dress the man in a robe. A shaggy dog wearing glasses helps. Mice adjust an arm of the robe, then help the man into a shabby slipper. White and brown mice put on chess piece hats. The man, Doolittle, sits before the chessboard. He sports a long, bedraggled beard. Making animal noises, he directs a brown mouse in a queen's crown. The mouse moves two spaces. Doolittle gestures for the gorilla to make a play. The white mouse in a queen's crown jumps excitedly. Doolittle pounds his chest at the gorilla, who anxiously puts his blanket on his head. He cowers in his chair, resting his large, furry rump on the table. The mice back away. Doolittle whistles, and the mice look at him. One puts a rook hat back on. The gorilla peeks out from under his blanket, then faces the table. He struggles to pick which mouse to move. The gorilla points at his king, and the mouse approaches Doolittle's queen. The king whacks the queen with a staff, and she falls over. The gorilla smiles and laughs. The duck jumps on the chessboard. Doolittle leans back, making animal noises. He spots the dog at the window, barking at Polly outside. Doolittle's eyes go wide as he notices the boy trapped in the dangling net. The gorilla covers his head in fear. Doolittle gestures, and a peacock goes to the window and expands his colorful feathers. Our view closes in on Doolittle as he communicates with the animals.
It's not good, as far as I'm concerned. I'm the only human here. Just ignore them.
There's no getting past the Kalahari snare, Doc. It's an ingenious design. I think you just caught yourself a boy.
Let me see. Wait, I don't want to see. Just make it go away.
Deep breaths, Doc. Dab Dab's got your back.
Don't be afraid, John. It's just a boy. This is an opportunity.
Oh, this is a nightmare!
Outside, the boy struggles in the net.
Pardon me.
A brunette girl holds an umbrella.
Whatever are you doing up there? I've come from Buckingham Palace on urgent business. Can you tell me if this is the home of John Doolittle?
Who are you?
You may call me Lady Rose. And you are?
Stubbins. Could you help me down?
In the manor.
This goes against Doolittle's rules.
Why are humans against the rules again?
If you let humans too close, you'll get hurt more than you would if you didn't let them in at all. Isn't that right, Doc?
That's enough, everybody. Back to our routine. We have a very full day.
John, pull yourself together. You can't ignore people just because they're people. What if they need help?
Doolittle lies on his back with his limbs up.
Possum. Play dead.
The gorilla does the same.
This is ridiculous. Chi-Chi, will you answer the door? You're the only one with arms.
I think chess was enough pressure for one day.
Chi-Chi boy, this is what we train for. Be brave and get rid of them. And don't forget your mantra.
I am not a prisoner of fear.
You are not a prisoner of fear.
Outside the manor, Stubbins knocks on a wooden gate.
Have you been here before? The queen told me all about it. It's a most unusual place.
I'm prepared for anything.
Chi-Chi the gorilla opens the gate. Stubbins and the gorilla scream. Chi-Chi faints and Rose enters.
Wonderful. A gorilla answering the door. Just as The Queen said.
Chi-Chi stands. Stubborn stares open-mouthed.
Oh, wait a minute. I have an injured squirrel.
Inside, Doolittle stands before a lit candle. He kisses two rings, then taps a painting of Lily with small white flowers.
I should never have let you go.
Eyes closed, Doolittle joins his hands and bows his head. He recalls holding hands with Lily in the meadow. They press their foreheads together, wearing serene expressions. In the house, the dog in glasses looks at Doolittle sadly. Rose walks down a hall.
Hello?
Doolittle opens his eyes and snuffs out the candle. Rose passes through a beaded curtain and enters a large room. Colorful birds fly around. Monkeys hang from an elevated track where mice ride on a tiny train transporting cheese. Smiling, Rose finds a walking stick insect moving over thin twigs.
Oh, look at you. Aren't you peculiar posing as a twig?
Move, please. This is my hiding spot.
Rose finds Doolittle hiding under a table.
Not here.
He holds fabric in front of himself.
Are you all right down there?
Yeah, fine. Go on.
Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, right.
You have been summoned to Buckingham Palace by the Queen herself.
Ooh, ha. Go on.
You should know, she's fallen gravely ill.
The duck watches Rose.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Do you understand what I'm saying? Go on. Go on and be gone. I don't care about anyone, anything, anywhere, anymore. The birds will show you out.
Holding the satchel, Stubbins walks through a garden.
Right, everything's tidy. Lunch will be served in a minute now.
In a kitchen, Doolittle turns on a contraption which dispenses Brussels sprouts, apples, and walnuts in their shells. The duck enters.
Smells lovely, Duck.
Thanks very much.
Hey, Duck, save some for us this time.
Mice arrive in a tiny elevator. Chopped food pours into a bowl.
Sorry, Duck.
Guess I'm scared of kids, too.
Don't worry about that. Come on, let's eat. I'm going to be offering today a brothy soup.
You'll never believe what we caught in the net.
The Queen has asked for you by name, sir.
Are you hard of hearing? I told you, I'm close for business.
The polar bear enters the dining area with a fruit tree branch.
What business?
Treating humans.
Stubbins dives through a window and Doolittle rings a bell.
Intruder alert!
Don't worry, I'm fine.
Well, I'm not. My house is descending into chaos.
Is it yours?
The polar bear.
I don't own anybody. Yoshi had an issue that he came to me with.
Yoshi sits by a fireplace.
He's always cold.
I have an injured squirrel.
Stubbins holds the bag.
I don't know what to do.
How is he injured?
The boy looks ashamed.
I shot him.
What? I can't hear you.
I shot him, but it was an accident.
Of course, an accidental firing upon. Humans never change.
He's very hurt. Please help him.
Stubbins opens the bag and puts it in Doolittle's lap. The doctor gazes at the injured squirrel.
Take that.
He gives Stubbins a ladle.
And this.
Doolittle tosses the mitten and gently pulls out the squirrel. The tiny rodent struggles to speak.
I'm too beautiful to die.
The dog and the duck watch with concern. Doolittle gives the squirrel CPR. Stubbins leans in close, but the doctor pushes him away. The squirrel inhales deeply. Chi-Chi smiles in relief.
He's with us. Dab, dab, chip. Light the lamps and disinfect the surgery.
You will not tend to a squirrel while the Queen of England's life hangs in the balance.
Oh, you don't know me very well, do you? Don't drop him.
We got a code red. Code red. Code red, everybody.
In an operating room.
The doctor is back.
Chi-Chi holds the squirrel.
Hang on, little buddy. Whew. Haven't done this in a while.
Let's get everything the way Doc likes.
Chi-Chi lays down the squirrel.
Don't worry. We got you, pal.
Stubbins and Rose sit in an observation room. Doolittle wears a surgical mask and tiny magnifying glasses.
Righto. Let's save this squirrel, shall we?
Okay.
When you wake up, everything will be fine.
If I die, I swear I won't hurt your house.
Sterilize the scalpels. Do not lick any instruments.
Patient's condition is stabilized.
Stubbins observes.
They're understanding him and he's understanding him. In their own languages.
Dab Dab the duck and Jip the dog assist Doolittle along with Chi-Chi and Yoshi.
Going through the left ventricle, it's brilliant.
Wow.
Dab Dab, forceps, please.
Here you go.
That's a piece of celery. Forceps, Dab Dab.
Oh, sorry. Here you go.
Still celery.
Forceps?
Carrot, that is.
Forceps?
That's a different piece of celery.
Got it. Forceps.
No, still celery. Never mind, I'll get it myself.
Stubbins looks amazed.
Oh, no, that took to the animals.
Doolittle tends to the squirrel.
Chi-Chi, brow.
The gorilla dabs his own brow.
My brow as well, when you've got a second.
Right, sorry. I'm going to come here and be Doolittle's apprentice.
Her Majesty has designated this land a nature preserve. If she dies, the deed will be owned by the treasury, and this place goes away.
Polly listens.
Shut down.
Mm-hmm.
There you are.
Doolittle drops a pellet.
Ooh, still got it, Doc.
Later, Chi-Chi gives Doolittle a massage.
Dear Cheech, that's the spot. But keep an eye on Kevin, shall we? He may be prickly when the anesthetic wears off.
The squirrel wakes. He envisions cannons, a bomb, and Stubbins shooting a gun.
Revenge.
Okay, okay, enough with the pampering.
Polly faces Doolittle.
Need to go and help the queen.
There are things I no longer do. Work with humans, or leave the house.
Or bathe.
Oh, exercise.
Express emotional vulnerability.
Wake up, John. If the queen dies, the treasury takes the deed and we lose this house.
You're talking out of your tail feathers, Polly. The deed was for life. The last time I checked, I was very much alive.
The queen's life, John, not yours.
Doolittle spits tea on Dab Dab.
Look at that. It just rolls off my back.
I knew I shouldn't have let monkeys proofread the contract. Elliot, Elsie, you are fired!
Monkeys chew on papers.
It gets worse. We'll be thrown out of these gates right in the middle of hunting season!
What?
No, no, no. Breathe, Chi-Chi.
We get kicked out and the queen dies?
We're gonna be hunted.
Everybody calm down.
Chi-Chi breathes into a paper bag.
Look at the state of him now.
Fear not. I have an inn at Regent's Park Zoo.
Everyone pack your bags!
The paper bag pops.
You help the queen or we are leaving.
You are bluffing.
Don't make me count.
Don't make me count.
One.
Three.
Two.
Oh, right. I'll do it.
Right. Let's get you ready to go, honey.
I'll go as I am.
Not looking like that.
Just grab my doctor's
get
bag.
Him.
Apologies, Doc. Hold still now.
Your paws off me.
This isn't going to hurt a bit.
Let's clean him up.
How dare you?
A mouse pops out of Doolittle's beard.
Oh, hey, guys.
Arthur? How long have you been living in there?
I don't know. What year is it?
Dab Dab holds celery.
Dab Dab got the razor.
That's your celery.
99, Doc.
Doolittle falls asleep from anesthesia. Polly brings a razor. Stubbins and Rose view maps labeled with the various animals' names.
Doolittle used to travel around the world. Look.
Rummaging through my private projects, is it?
How is he?
Well, first things first. The squirrel's name is Kevin. Expect a full recovery. And after some violent grooming, it's been decided. We will come to you to Buckingham Palace after all.
Doolittle reveals his shaven face. Rose smiles.
You are going back to whatever burrow you emerged from.
Stubbins frowns.
Try not to shoot anything on your way home.
Walking outside, the boy looks downcast. He notices a carriage with a trunk attached to the back. His expression grows determined. Inside, Chi-Chi packs a bag.
Maybe I should stay here. I don't do well in crowds.
We'll look after you, Cheech, but we all go together, just like the old days.
Ooh, don't forget Doc's forceps.
That's a leak, Dab Dab.
Sure it is.
Sticks. Oh, where are you? Oh, would you care to come along?
The walking stick climbs onto Doolittle's hand.
I know. I had other plants as well.
Hurry up, hurry up.
A sugar glider jumps on his head. Doolittle's eyes shift as the tiny marsupial hides in his messy hair. Doolittle grabs a chain holding two rings and a charm. Wearing it around his neck, he kisses Lily's ring and tucks the chain in his shirt. Later, he holds the front door open and Rose steps outside. Wearing a tan top hat and jacket, he glances around his home and nods to himself. Doolittle walks out.
Prepare my ride!
An ostrich comes outside.
Today's gonna be a good day. I'm gonna do nothing, just prance around, think my own thoughts, and... Oh, he's walking this way, not a great sign. He's got no beard, he looks motivated.
Don't be alarmed.
People only say that when they're about to be alarming. Sorry about this.
The ostrich trips Doolittle. Yoshi grabs the large bird.
I'm unavailable.
Ah!
Unavailable for the man who changed your life? Going to save the queen, bro.
I am not your bro. You should be an Eskimo's rug by now. Ow, Claws.
Ow!
Stubbins watches from inside the trunk. Doolittle gets on Plimpton.
Oh, you've gained weight.
They travel.
Why are you riding me? There's like four horses in front of us.
Cheer up, Angry Bird. Kick back and enjoy the ride.
I am the ride.
At Buckingham Palace, the horse-drawn carriage arrives.
Buckingham Palace! We've hit the big time!
Doolittle follows on Plimpton, who runs haphazardly.
Full speed! No longer required!
Stubbins watches from the trunk. The carriage stops, and a mustached guard approaches the door.
Welcome home, my lady!
Yoshi backs out of it, knocking the guard down. Jip and Dab-Dab emerge. Guards aim their guns. Rose steps out with Chi-Chi.
Your ladyship, Rose.
They are the queen's own guests. Treat them accordingly.
You better give us a wide berth. Make way, boys. Plimpton! Don't stop!
Don't stop! Odd decision, but...
Stop!
Entering the palace, the ostrich skids to a stop by coats of armor. Doolittle dismounts and puts his hat on Plimpton's head.
Can't see!
He bumps into a coat of armor. It falls, knocking down several others in a domino effect.
Okay.
I blame the hat.
In her bedroom, the sickly queen lies asleep. Nearby, a goateed man wearing a black suit uses forceps to pull a leech out of a glass container. A gray-haired man approaches.
Dr. Mootfly.
Lord Badgley.
I come from the House of Lords. There is great concern for Her Majesty's health.
Moodfly holds up the leech.
I shall continue to leech, to circulate the vapors in the bloodstream. She'll be lucky to last the week.
Dab-Dab waddles through the palace.
This is not the first time Dr. Doolittle's been here. You got a dying queen? Not for long. Dr. Doolittle is in the...
The mustached guard escorts Stubbins.
Wait for me.
A stowaway, my lady, who claims to be...
Dr. Doolittle's apprentice.
It's quite all right, Gareth.
Gareth releases the boy.
Well, if he was my apprentice, he should fetch my bags and keep his gob shut.
Rose, Doolittle, and the animals enter the queen's bedroom. People stare in alarm. Moodfly approaches.
Animals in the queen's chamber?
I demand their immediate removal.
Ah, Lady Rose, my apologies. Please forgive me. I didn't realize that you were part of John Doolittle.
Is that Blaine?
Blair.
Poopling.
No.
It was Mudfly.
No, it's Mootfly.
Mootfly.
With an umlaut.
Yes.
From the Germans.
Of course, from the Germans.
Why is he here?
Her Majesty has personally requested Dr. Doolittle.
Doolittle smirks at Mootfly, who gives a resigned look. He gestures toward the sleeping queen. Doolittle approaches the bed and gazes at her. Jip nudges Stubbins, who holds Doolittle's bags.
Well then, let's get to work. All right, Jip, give her a good sniff.
The dog jumps onto the bed. Lord Badgley's eyes widen as the dog sniffs and licks the young queen. Jip shakes his head. The dog steps off the bed and approaches Doolittle.
Bark. You all right, fellow?
Something smelled wrong. And that's coming from a guy who loves the smell of butts.
Oh, you do love butt.
I detected a whiff of something else. Floral with earthy...
Moodfly watches them communicate.
I'm perplexed, Doc. I've never smelled anything like it before.
Clearly, Gypsy and I are out of our depths. May we consult?
Well, of course, I'd be more than happy to help illuminate...
Doolittle brushes past Moodfly and steps next to a fish tank. He puts on goggles, takes a deep breath, and dunks his face in the water. Badgley wears a puzzled look. In the tank, Doolittle speaks to an octopus. Subtitles appear. Did you see anything unusual? Snitches get stitches, man. Water spills out of the tank.
John and I were students at Edinburgh years ago.
Some thought he had a gift for observation.
In the tank, Doolittle points at the octopus, Leona. Okay, she drank tea and then fell down. Doolittle gives a thumbs up, then emerges from the water. He pulls the sugar glider off his head.
Oh, sorry about that, Minnie.
Minnie shakes off water and her fur puffs out. Doolittle pockets her.
Stay here.
Dab-dab, clear out the humans. Boyo, fetch the botanical index and the tea tin.
Everyone out! Do you understand the words coming out of my bill?
Stubbins brings Doolittle a botanical index. Jip sniffs a tea tin.
What do you smell, Jip? Elderberries? Emlock? Negative.
Doolittle flips through pages about plants.
Negative.
He turns the page again.
Aye, aye.
Jip sniffs the tea tin. The page reads, Deathly Nightshade. It features a skull and crossbones.
What have you found, Doolittle?
Quite possibly the answer to everything. Exposure to toxins.
Thought it was like this at school. Lean in, lean in. I'm saying something interesting.
I am interested.
The Queen's symptoms are due to the effect of a rare Sumatran plant known as the nightshade flower. A solar eclipse will occur on the 17th of this very month. If she has not received the antidote by then, she will perish.
He walks to a painting.
Is that a Turner? Must be. What a fine painting.
I say, Doolittle, what is your plan?
He discreetly leaves sticks on the painting's frame.
Suppose we do need one. Well, the Queen's only hope is a cure that's never been tested from a tree that's never been seen on an island that's never been found. Sounds ridiculous, saying it out loud. But regardless of that, we've no choice but to embark on this perilous journey to obtain the fruit of the Eden tree.
What?
Leona's ink fills the tank.
Eden tree, oh my. Fantastic. The Doolittles with their Eden tree island. Isn't it enough that your wife...
Shut up, Blair! Sorry, I meant to say, lovely to see you again, Blair. We're off now. Ta-ra.
Oh, its fruit is said to cure every malady known to man, grant eternal life, even restore the hair on your head.
You must let nothing pass her lips that hasn't been made and served by you. Clear?
Yes, I'll see to it.
That's us to the carriage. Jip, you need to stay behind and guard the Queen. Very important.
Right. Guard dog mode. Stand back, everyone, while I secure the perimeter.
Jip drags his butt along the floor.
Excuse me.
Stubbins faces Rose. She ties a handkerchief around his neck.
I do so admire how you don't give up. The Queen is counting on both of you. Good luck.
Grinning, Stubbins leaves. He hurries to the carriage.
Right. Chop, chop. You get a long voyage in front of us, and the boat isn't going to sail itself.
Deep breath, Yoshi. We haven't got all day.
Yoshi fills most of the carriage.
Seems like she's full up.
Maybe we can squeeze in one more.
It departs.
Plenty of room.
Oh, no.
Plimpton hides his head.
I mean, one more stop, good fellow.
I can't hear you because I am not here.
Well, I believe it's time to go our separate ways.
I'm going with you.
Certainly not. It's far too treacherous.
I'm your apprentice.
You? No, no, no.
Oh, you have an apprentice. You don't need an apprentice and an ostrich. I'll go home.
I didn't want to be embarrassed, so I pretended to belong.
I was helpful in there, wasn't I? The animals like me. I don't take up much space. I think I belong here. Don't make me go home. Please.
Doolittle looks hesitant. In a village, Stubbins approaches a modest home. Wearing the handkerchief, he gazes down sadly. His uncle takes him inside.
What is that around your neck?
I'm worried about the boy, Betten.
Give him time. Time is all.
We're hunters, Betten. Hunters. It has a certain... We hunt things. He frees things.
Like rabbits, mice.
He carries spiders outside.
Nobody likes spiders, not even spiders. I don't know how your sister put up with it.
Lying in bed, Stubbins gazes at a spider. In the morning, an exterior view shows the home. Shadows on the floor of Stubbins' bedroom show a giraffe opening the window. The long-necked animal sticks her head into the room. As Stubbins sleeps, Betsy the giraffe licks his face with her giant tongue. He wakes up and Polly perches on the bed frame.
Polly? What are you doing here?
Making sure you don't miss the boat.
Am I talking to an animal? just like Doolittle.
Oh, no, I'm speaking human. Better than any parrot ever has, actually. Now, let's pack some clothes. Come on.
Polly flies to the window. Betsy the giraffe wears a fox as a hat.
Doolittle said I belong here.
Little help, Tutu.
The fox tosses clothing.
Well, I never heard him say anything of the sort. There's something special about you, Stubbins. Something I've only seen in two other humans. You belong with us, kid. And you let me worry about Doolittle. That's my job. So, are you ready for the adventure of a lifetime?
Stubbins gazes off in thought, then turns to Polly.
I'm in.
Of course you are.
Polly, let's move. We got a boat to catch and we're burning daylight.
Fret not, ma chérie. We have the perfect plan.
Stubbins rides Betsy through the village. Men ride horses.
Why are they chasing us? We're not criminals. Speak for yourself. We're wanted in three forests.
And it's not an escape mission unless you're being chased.
Stubbins clings to Betsy's neck and hangs upside down.
That tickles. Which way, Tutu? Down!
Betsy ducks.
Clear the way.
This way!
Get off the road, ma chérie.
The giraffe hops on a cart.
See you later, suckers.
In the countryside, Betsy races toward a river. Polly flies after her. They stop near a dock as a ship departs.
We've done it! We've done it! We
missed it.
Okay, boss, what's our next move?
We cut our losses, change our identities, ditch the kid in the river.
Whoa, 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 easy.
What about that bridge?
Yes, the bridge.
That was my next suggestion.
Let's go.
On the ship, Doolittle lies down.
Come on, Doc. At least get out of the hammock. Your seasickness will wear off.
Try some of this ginger root. You'll get your sea legs back. You look terrible.
Ah, button it. Who put me in this hammock? I am the captain of the ship, right? Raise the blasted sails, will you?
He bites the ginger.
That's a big bite.
Doolittle looks sick.
Everyone, look! Is that the boy?
He's coming to finish the job! He won't rest till I'm dead! He's obsessed!
John, slow the boat down!
No, I want to go faster.
Sorry, kid. Doc says no.
We can miss all the good current.
I hope you make it.
Me too, Dabs.
Betsy reaches the partially constructed bridge.
All right, Bets. Moment of truth.
Oh, big hole, 12 o'clock.
Maybe this is a bad idea.
Betsy crosses the bridge.
Let's go, Stubbins! Let's go!
Stubbins holds her neck.
I've run out of track!
But not courage! Fly and be free!
Betsy halts at a gap and Stubbins flies off. He lands on a platform suspended by rope. Tutu pushes a lever.
Vive la résistance!
The platform lowers.
Is that thing up to code?
The platform jolts and Stubbins almost falls. He spots the rope's pulley loosening from a beam. Doolittle watches nervously as Stubbins climbs over the platform railing.
No! Oh, no!
The boy stares down.
Jump, murderer! You got this!
Doolittle covers his face. The ship starts to pass far below Stubbins, who jumps. The boy lands on a sail and slides down it. Doolittle crouches with his eyes closed. Grabbing a rope, Stubbins swings out over the sea. He lands on feed sacks on the deck, and rodents and grain fly out.
Yes!
Crushed it, kid!
We made it!
Why y'all cheering for the kid who shot me?
Chi-Chi helps him up.
Ah, he's all right. Darling, can I have a word, please?
Glad you came around. It's all things mine.
Doolittle throws Polly.
What is she thinking? The boy nearly killed himself. Oi! This is my ship, right? And I'm its sovereign. And there are consequences.
To ignoring me? Is that what you were going
to say?
No,
no. Don't miss my words. And stop messing with my routine.
Look at the state of you. You're sick as a dog.
Actually, I have my medicine. See? This licorice root is working a treat.
Sit down, John.
Polly takes a stick out of Doolittle's mouth.
Don't embarrass me in front of the crew.
I'm sparing you embarrassment. You need a trim.
All right, be quick. It's important to maintain my status. Yeah. This ship is dangerous. No place for a... Ow. Ow!
What?
Hurts, man! Private conversation.
Oh, okay. Oh,
sorry.
I know this particular voyage is hard for you, John.
It is for me, too. I brought you Lily just when you needed her, and now you need one of your own kind again. Someone without feathers or fur.
Fine, the boy can stay, but it'll be on my terms. And I'll keep him quite busy.
You'll do it with a smile on your face.
Doolittle hesitates.
Crew! Seems you got a new shipmate.
Forcing a smile, he approaches Stubbins.
As I just told Polly, we are a bit short-handed after all, so...
You won't regret it.
Welcome aboard. I hear you could be a big help by cleaning this up. That too, if you wouldn't mind. Oops, those as well.
Doolittle makes a mess.
And that. I got these.
Careful with that medical equipment.
He waves leeks around and tosses them.
Because a parrot's in charge of my ship. Brilliant.
Doolittle enters the cabin.
He's absolutely thrilled to have you.
A sign on the door reads, "No humans allowed." In the Queen's bedroom, Moodfly notices the octopus moving in the fish tank. His expression growing curious, the doctor steps closer and leans toward the glass.
Hello there, little squid. You don't understand me, do you? That would be preposterous.
Moodfly.
I wasn't talking to the squid.
I'm dispatching a frigate, the Britannia, to follow Doolittle.
You must not support him in his foolishness, my lord.
Badgley and Moodfly look at Leona, who crosses two of her arms. The men step away.
England has enemies everywhere, waiting for the slightest sign of weakness. Entrusting beloved Britain to a child queen? That is lunacy. So while I remain here, ensuring no one prevents me from taking the throne, you will be on the Britannia, making certain... Doolittle never returns.
Unnoticed by Badgley, Styx clings to the frame of the Turner painting. On a map, a line travels southwest of England. Doolittle's ship sails on the ocean. In a makeshift boxing ring on the deck, Chi-Chi trains with the doctor.
Right, round two, yeah? You got me on the ropes, you have, Cheech. Come on, one, two. Jab, jab cross. Best form, defense is attack.
Stubbins watches them, then resumes scrubbing the ship. At sunset, Dab-Dab sits on the bow. Standing at the wheel, Stubbins watches the animals play cards. Dab-Dab throws cards. A monkey looks at Stubbins and he smiles. In the boxing ring...
I really don't want to fight you.
We're not fighting, are we? It's a therapeutic session.
Stubbins cleans equipment with a toothbrush. The monkeys Elliot and Elsie call out to him. Stubbins tries communicating with them.
I think I'm getting this. I'm actually starting to understand.
Chi-Chi punches Doolittle, then looks horrified. On the map, the line continues south. Nighttime. Doolittle stands alone on deck, leaning on the steering wheel. He furrows his brow. Doolittle goes to the edge of the ship and gazes out at the ocean. In a flashback, he walks with Lily in the meadow.
Stop worrying, John. Every step is planned out in my journal. I'll be back before you even miss me.
On the ship, Doolittle holds the rings to his lips. A glimpse shows them in the meadow. On the ship, Doolittle looks distraught.
Are you all right?
Doolittle steps away from the edge. He glances at Stubbins.
I think I'm beginning to understand a little bit of what the animals are saying.
Seems you are, Boyle.
The doctor goes to the lower deck. Stubbins wears an excited smile. Daytime, Yoshi lies on his back. Plimpton stands over him.
What kind of polar bear works on their tan?
Well, what kind of bird... Wait, are you even a bird?
Of course I am.
Well, can you fly?
No.
Can you swim?
No.
Well, what can you do?
I can run.
I can run. What bird stuff can you do?
Well, what bear stuff can you do? You win this round.
Stubbins empties a bucket over the edge of the ship, but wind blows the dust and feathers back at him. As the boy rubs his face, he gapes at a frigate in the distance. Stubbins tries to talk to Yoshi.
Pickles? You were saying warship! Weird time to be asking for pickles. I mean, who could eat when we're under attack?
Enemy! Starboard aft! Elliot,
You and Etsy, ready the machine. We're gonna need speed. Send out the call.
The monkeys use a musical contraption to send sound waves into the ocean.
Where are the lifeboats? Minnie, this whole thing is a death boat.
Stubbins, boy, I need you now more than ever to stand still.
I surrender. We surrender.
He spots Moodfly through a spyglass.
Hello, Blair, you chinless wonder.
On the frigate.
He said something about my chin, didn't he?
It's a magnificent chin, sir.
We're in their sights. Cannons are taking aim. Let's turn this ship.
The sound waves reach a humpback whale.
I'm on my way.
It is time for me to slip into something less comfortable.
The ship turns, fleeing the approaching frigate. Stubbins drops supplies as he walks toward the bow. The whale leaps out of the water.
I bought a front row seat to Crazy Town.
Doolittle wears a diving suit.
Once Humphrey's been secured, you put me out on Yoshi Signal.
Me? I can't handle that type of pressure, Doc. I'm a cheer quietly from the sidelines kind of gorilla.
Don't worry, Cheech. You'll rise to the occasion. Huh? You're stronger than you know. Now remember, courage is not the absence of fear.
He dons a helmet.
Wait! You got cut off! I can't hear you! I need the second part!
No time, Cheech! Let's go!
Chi-Chi pulls a rope, which raises Doolittle in his diving gear. The gorilla lowers him into the ocean. Moodfly watches through his spyglass.
Oh, look, look! They're already abandoning ship.
Dab-Dab releases a wheel, propelling a giant harness into the water. Ropes attach it to the ship.
Oh, this is gonna be cold, but I'm coming in hot!
Yoshi dives into the ocean. He and Doolittle grab ropes on either side of the giant harness. The humpback whale arrives.
Humphrey here. Let's hook it up.
Humphrey puts his head through the harness. Doolittle and Yoshi tighten and secure it around the whale.
Where we headed?
South.
The doctor winks and nods, then pulls on his suit's tether rope.
Okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Pulling the rope, Chi-Chi reels in Doolittle. Humphrey swims at the surface.
Full steam ahead!
No, Humphrey, go!
Yoshi rides the whale.
Are they pulling away?
Humphrey tows the ship.
It's working!
How is this possible?
Well, sir, it appears Doolittle and a polar bear have harnessed a whale.
It was a rhetorical question. Just fire!
The frigate fires cannonballs at the ship. One destroys a post and Chi-Chi stumbles.
I dropped the rope!
Gripping the slackened tether, Doolittle floats farther from the ship. Moodfly grins with delight. Plimpton spots the uncoiling rope.
I failed. I knew I couldn't do it.
As Chi-Chi cowers, Stubbins races to the rope and catches it. The tether pulls on Doolittle. Yoshi spots him floating adrift. Stubbins strains to pull the rope.
Yoshi!
Hang on! I'm coming, kid!
Yoshi leaps from the whale to the ship.
You're doing great!
Oh, this is gonna murder my back!
Quit complaining, you oversized flamingo!
Plimpton and Yoshi help Stubbins pull. The rope snaps. It comes off the pulley and drops in the water.
Oh, no.
Stubbins, Yoshi, and Plimpton stare sadly.
Oh, no.
Doolittle's helmet lands on the ship. Stubbins looks hopeful. Hiding most of his face, Chi-Chi peeks at the helmet. Doolittle climbs onto the ship. He spits out water, then smiles.
Oh, yes!
Doolittle rolls over the edge and onto the deck. Chi-Chi bows his head.
I let you down, Doc.
Look at me. I'm fine. We're all fine.
I froze.
No, no, Cheech. It's okay to be scared.
Mm-mm.
Doolittle eyes Stubbins, who grins at him.
You saved me, did you? Fair play. Thanks very much. Well done, everybody.
The boy lies back in relief.
Feel like you belong now, kid?
I guess I do.
Oh, we lost her.
I guess I do.
Great work, gang.
Eat our dust, Mudfly.
On the frigate, Moodfly looks through his spyglass at Doolittle's ship in the distance. The young sailor stands beside him.
They've gotten away, sir.
Oh, really? I thought they disappeared into thin air.
I'm afraid not, sir. They've escaped.
Read the room, Lieutenant. I can see they've escaped. But not for long.
On the bridge, a fly escapes the swatter.
It's a miracle! That must mean I am the chosen one. I'm gonna change the way.
A bird eats it.
Whale power!
Doolittle had to write a paper about it, which of course nobody took seriously. This one even theorizes the existence of dragons. Just preposterous.
Sir, I'm afraid your obsession with Doolittle...
What obsession? I'm not obsessed with Doolittle. You're obsessed with Doolittle. You're the one obsessing about my obsession with Doolittle.
Moodfly calms himself.
I'm loath to admit it, but he's more valuable alive for now.
But luckily, I think I know where he's going.
At night, Kevin stands on Doolittle's ship.
Kevin's log, day 7. I'm now totally isolated. The enemy has ingratiated himself with the captain and crew. No sign of promised tropical island or the magic fruit. But I will endure.
Doolittle watches as Stubborn sleeps with Chi-Chi and the other animals. The doctor pats his hand on a mast, waking up the boy. Doolittle beckons Stubborn's. The boy joins him on the top deck.
Take the wheel, Stubbins.
Really?
Yeah. I have to calculate our route coordinates. The bees are buzzing about you. Seems you are getting a rudimentary grasp of their language.
He uses a sextant.
35 degrees port side.
Stubborn steers the ship.
Well, I have noticed when they fly in a zigzag pattern, they sort of go bzz, 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 which means back off, kid. But when Dab-Dab goes that means, look at this.
Look at me.
Oh, close.
My bubble.
Oh, no. When Chi-Chi says... that means, where's my blanket?
Very good.
Stubborn spots a map near a lantern.
Is that the map of Eden Tree Island?
The Eden Tree cannot be found on any map. And to call it an island is to suggest it is of our world. And it is anything but. That is why we must first go to Monteverdi, birthplace of the only person to ever chart course to the tree. Her name was Lily. She wrote the route in a journal. But on her voyage, she was shipwrecked. The world lost the greatest explorer I've ever known. The journal from that expedition was all that survived.
Doolittle notices Elliot and Elsie sipping from coconuts.
Elliot, Elsie, do you mind? So anyway, you get the picture. Do we have any chance of finding the tree? We have to go to Monteverdi and steal that flipping journal.
Steal with the journal?
Did I say that? Well, what's the worst that can happen?
A strong wind puts out the lantern's flame.
Don't worry. I know no man when I see one, and that was not no man.
Lightning strikes the mast. Doolittle grabs the wheel.
Stealing the journal is not a big deal.
Doolittle looks concerned.
In fact, Monteverdi itself is not a big deal.
By a coastal city, a statue features a man with lions.
The stop at Monteverdi was a very big deal. After all, this island of bandits and thieves was once a place Doolittle, Lily, and I called home. Until the doctor made an enemy of the island's notorious ruler, King Rasuli. And just our luck, his most prized possession was the very journal we needed to steal.
A wanted poster shows Doolittle.
So Doolittle needed a disguise.
In the city, Doolittle and Stubborn's wear silly disguises. Polly stands on the ship.
While I was left watching over the rest of the crew, Doolittle and Stubborn snuck into the palace.
Climbing the palace wall, Doolittle slips and nearly falls off a cliff.
I'm about to die!
Inside, Doolittle and Stubborn's crawl on the floor.
Once inside, their path ended at a heavily bolted door, naturally. But Doolittle still had questionable contacts on the island.
Ants carry sugar cubes. A dragonfly faces the antleader.
The opening bid will suffice. You have my attention.
Don Carpenterino, I'm here on behalf of these humans. They will pay you handsomely for your family's lockpicking skills.
You come to me for this on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Wait a minute. Which daughter? It's not Sheila? My Sheila? She's Boy's getting married?
To a scorpion named Dylan.
Sorry, Boy Scout. I guess Sheila's into bad boys now.
The dragonfly looks upset.
We were going to spend the rest of our lifespans together.
Hold on, James. What's your human's best offer?
Doolittle offers more sugar cubes.
And two later. Huh?
Okay, you have yourself a deal. See you around, Boy Scout.
Guys, I'm no Boy Scout. Also, what's a scorpion got that I don't got? Besides a massive stinger.
Get over it, James. You dated for 2 weeks.
The ants unlock the door for Doolittle. He peers into the hidden tunnel and finds it blocked by bars.
These bars are new. Totally messing up my plan.
I can fit through them.
No. It's too dangerous, man. Can't go in there on your own.
Let me take him in, Doc. I need something to distract me from this Sheila reveal.
Are you sure your head's in the right place, James?
Oh, yeah! I'll get the kid in and then fly headfirst into a brick. Just kidding. I'm fine.
Hey, all right. James will look after you. It's fine. Listen closely. Get the journal and get out of there. Go through the room quietly. Look for the tiger's eye. Yeah. Go down the hidden staircase. Yeah. And most importantly, keep your disguise on.
There's just one little thing you should know. Rasuli loves his cats.
In a large bedroom, Rasuli sleeps surrounded by lions.
But that's no problem for us, because we can just fly right over... I see the mistake I made here. You can't fly.
Stubbins carefully steps onto a rope bridge hanging over the room. Several lions sleep below. James flies near the boy.
Hey, watch out. Kitty cat on your six.
Stubbins leaps onto a hanging object and swings to the floor by the bed.
Slick move, kid.
Rasuli remains asleep.
We make a pretty good team. A real couple of bad boys. Okay, partner. You know where to go.
Stubbins approaches a tiger painting on the wall. Leaning close, he peers into the tiger's eye. The eye lights up and a trap door slides open beneath Stubbins. He descends stairs into a chamber filled with treasures. The boy steps through the chamber. In the bedroom, James flies near a sleeping lion.
I'll keep watch on these lions. That's what a bad boy dragonfly does. Would Dylan get this close to a lion? Would he get this close? How about this close?
James wakes up a lion and Rasuli.
This is bad. This is very bad.
In the treasure room, Stubbins approaches a journal on a candle-lit shrine.
Lily, Doolittle.
He looks up at Lily's portrait. He turns to find Rasuli with lions. Doolittle waits in the hall.
We got the journal! Open up!
Just kidding. He blew it. Bye!
Oh, dear. Stubbins!
Armed guards grab Doolittle and aim swords at him.
Former resident, yeah?
Don't move.
He taps a sword.
Don't touch.
In the dungeons, Rasuli sits in a golden seat near the imprisoned intruders.
All I wanted was my daughter to marry wisely, and instead I got the ringleader of a circus. I never understood what Lily saw in you. A common complaint the world over for fathers of beloved daughters, but in this instance I think we can all agree it is particularly accurate.
Doolittle raises his brow. Rasuli stands and approaches the cell.
Come here.
Doolittle approaches and shakes his hand.
Come here.
I'm certain you didn't mean any of that.
Rasuli grabs him.
It was her journal. The only thing of hers my man found in the wreckage. It belongs here.
He lets go and Doolittle falls over.
All you had to do was never show your face again. And even at that... you failed. Now you pay for taking Lily away from me.
Doolittle hurries over to Stubbins.
You knew what would happen if you returned. Yes.
They look toward a small door in the stone wall. Prisoners chant from their cells. Rasuli opens the cell door and beckons Stubbins. The boy turns to Doolittle.
You should go.
Rasuli wears a menacing expression.
It's my past that's caught up with me, not yours. Yeah?
Be your one friend.
Go. Don't look back.
Stubbins leaves. Doolittle gives the boy a wink and a nod as Rasuli shuts the cell door.
You're better off without him, kid.
Two guards approach Doolittle.
I'm in compliance.
A rabbit stands in a cell.
Oh, yes! Finally, some action down here. Boy, was it getting boring. You know, Doc, I hate to tell you, but you're going down, my friend.
You do well to keep your buck teeth together.
What is that smell? Hey, fellas, I think Dr. Doolittle did a little doo-doo.
Did Dr. Doolittle do a little doo-doo?
Perhaps when I'm out of here, I'll teach you some manners and accept your lucky foot as payment.
Oh, this lucky foot? Oh, don't worry about it, Doc, because both of my lucky feet are going to be tap dancing on your grave when my guy's done with you. Taking bets over here. In the right corner, wearing golden stripes, with a sparkling record of 872 kills, Barry the Butcher Bernstein!
The small door rises and a tiger walks into the cell.
Dr. Doolittle, remember me, your old patient.
It's Barry.
Barry? How could I forget you?
Oh, but you did, Doc. We were just starting to make progress, and then you run off with Rasuli's daughter and abandon me.
Well, I'm back now. Perhaps we should just pick up where we left off.
In a grand dining hall.
Enjoy the feast!
Many people dine. Stubbins sits with Rasuli.
What will happen to Doolittle?
Oh, well, he's a dead man, you know. He'll think he can talk his way out of it, but Barry has gone completely nuts. But you are one of us now.
To Doolittle's nest!
Stubbins notices James nibbling on food nearby.
Psst! Hey, it's you! You made it!
I need you to get a message to my friends on the boat.
A message? Sure. When have I ever let you down?
In the cell.
All I hear, day after day.
Oh, Barry, you're such a disappointment. Why can't you be more like your brother? He eats poachers for a living, you know.
Yes, Mother, I know. The whole jungle knows.
Barry pulls the man's chain.
Oh, my head.
Your migraines are brought on by severe maternal issues and compounded by sibling rivalry.
Please make it.
Oh, no.
Lie down.
Oh, my head.
We could resume your treatment.
The stress is unbearable. I just want to be a good boy. I just want to make Mummy proud.
There we are.
No one I eat will ever be good enough.
There's the release. Release it.
I will never be good enough unless I eat you.
Doolittle stands and quickly backs away from the tiger.
Because every mother wants their son to grow up and eat a doctor.
You're a sick kitty.
Barry chases Doolittle. The doctor yanks the chain of his shackle and hops onto a ledge.
Come here, Doc. I'll make it quick.
Doolittle takes out his compass and notices sunlight shining in through a window.
Give up, Doolittle. You can't outsmart.
Oh, what was that? Oh, wait. Now it's over there.
Doolittle reflects light onto the floor and Barry tries to catch it.
Got it. And now it's over here. Oh, we lost it. We've got to get it.
A cat is still a cat. Easily distracted.
Barry catches the light.
New game, Doc.
Doolittle's chain gets caught and he dangles.
Come on down, Doc.
James flies to the ship.
Okay, James. You can't let this kid down. You've got to deliver this message.
Oh, no. It's James.
From now on, no more focusing on relationships and...
Whoa, Polly?
Is that you?
James?
Ooh, your James? Feathers really James? Filled out
what
nice.
What happened, James?
Oh, right, message. My bad. The kid's been captured by Rasuli, and Barry's about to have Doolittle for lunch.
Looks like we're going ashore after all. Be a darling and grab my dynamite, will you?
Oh! Chi-Chi rows a boat toward the city.
Split up if we're going to pull this off. Chi-Chi, you're coming with me.
Where are we going? No, don't tell me. Just tell me when we get there.
Yoshi, create a distraction.
Hope this is enough.
Yoshi tosses dynamite into an armory. A palace tower explodes and the dining hall quakes.
We are being attacked!
Rasuli's men rush out. Stubbins glances around thoughtfully. In the cell, Barry leaps at Doolittle.
Come on, John, Doc. Therapy's the answer.
Oh, no! Worse than I expected.
The chain snaps and Doolittle drops.
I got her, Doc.
Back
off, Barry!
Polly, don't!
Polly swoops in.
An appetizer.
Barry swats her away.
I got you, Polly.
Chi-Chi watches from the barred window.
Any final diagnosis, Doc?
Don't you want to be the best batter you can be?
Oh, I'm about to.
Chi-Chi tackles Barry.
I am not a prisoner of fear!
Doolittle spots the broken window bars.
I'm not a prisoner of fear!
Oh, no, 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 no.
It's okay to be scared!
Chi-Chi strikes the tiger. Barry whacks the gorilla and pounces on him.
Oh, it's okay to be scared!
You should be scared.
It's okay to be scared!
Chi-Chi throws the tiger.
Give him a good idea.
Okay, we're doing this. We are doing this. We're not doing this.
Barry leaps in slow motion and Chi-Chi grabs him.
Hit him in the low area.
Down there.
Chi-Chi kicks Barry between the legs and throws him into the wall.
Oof, that's gotta hurt.
Ow, my berries!
That'll work.
Chi-Chi pounds his chest.
Cheap shot, ape.
He puts Barry in a headlock.
I haven't finished my treatment.
Go to sleep, baby tiger. Time to put those claws away.
Barry goes to sleep and Chi-Chi anyway, drapes his blanket over him.
You need this more than I do.
Tell me I'm enough, Mummy.
I had 50 grand riding on that. Well, I won't pay that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Doolittle raises Chi-Chi's arm.
Thanks for sticking with me, Doc.
In the treasure room, Stubbins picks up Lily's journal and gazes at it. Holding the journal, the boy flees the palace. Stubbins hurries through the chaotic city streets, dodging citizens. Arriving at the docks, he holds up the journal for Doolittle.
I have it!
British soldiers aim rifles. Moodfly takes the journal.
And now, I'll have it.
Moodfly opens it and flips through the pages as he approaches Doolittle.
She has such a sure hand. Exactly what the doctor ordered.
He steps down to a rowboat. Yoshi growls at the soldiers who join Moodfly.
What do they offer you, Moodfly? To murder the Queen of England?
Quite a few things, actually. Knighthood, Windward House, Chair of the Royal College. In no particular order. Oh, and the icing on the Madeline will be the scientific accolades that accrue from the proper study of the Eden Tree. All thanks to Lily Doolittle. Actually, no, that's still Madeline. The icing is knowing that you know I won.
Moodfly steps onto the rowboat.
Oh, and Doolittle, I'm so sorry for that hole in your boat.
What hole?
Moodfly gestures and the frigate fires at Doolittle's ship. The doctor looks alarmed. On the ship, Dab-Dab leads the other animals.
Abandon ship! Everyone overboard!
The animals leap off the ship as a cannonball strikes it.
Oh, not good.
More cannonballs obliterate the vessel as the animals swim away. Plimpton struggles to stay afloat.
Help!
I'm on it, Doc!
Yoshi dives into the water.
I can't fly! And I can't swim!
The polar bear grabs the ostrich and throws him onto floating wreckage.
Got you, buddy! Plimpton, I'm not losing you, bro! Step away from the light!
There is no light! I'm alive! I'm alive! I'm alive. Thanks to you, Yoshi.
Doolittle's ship sinks. The name on the back reads Water Lily. In the Queen's chambers, Lord Badgley gazes at the Turner painting. It depicts a large ship in peril. Lady Rose stands at the Queen's bedside and Jip sits on the foot of the bed. The Queen weakly beckons Rose.
You've always been so kind.
The tearful girl holds the Queen's hand.
It's difficult to say goodbye.
Please don't say that.
It's all right.
The Queen shuts her eyes.
You've done your best. Your Queen is proud.
Jip stares off with concern.
Where are you, Doolittle?
Yoshi and Plimpton sit on the dock.
Hey, Big Bird, you doing okay?
No. Nothing about me is okay. My father was right about me. I should have been an omelet.
I know how you feel. My dad said he was going out for a pack of seals one night and never came back. I guess we got something in common after all, Plimpton.
What is this feeling? I'm all warm and fuzzy inside.
That's friendship, bro.
Huh. Not bad. Bro.
Yoshi and Plimpton look down at Kevin the squirrel.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Nearby, Doolittle stands with Stubbins, Chi-Chi, and Polly. Frowning, the doctor gazes downward, then looks off in thought.
Right. Gather round, shall we? Huh? Let's have a look where we are now.
That's the spirit, John.
Doolittle smiles at the animals.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
He lifts his brow and points at them.
I'm already getting duck bombs.
Doolittle's expression becomes concerned.
We're finished.
What? Is this a pep talk? Because it's a weird one.
I can sniff defeat like a truffle pig.
This can't be the end.
Yeah.
Wait,
I smell
it. We can still save the queen.
Nope.
We can still save your house.
What?
I believe in you. We can keep going.
Oh, you got a point there. Except the journal's gone. We've no way to find the Eden Tree, and our boat is sunk.
He makes a strong argument.
Doolittle writes open on a wooden plank.
On the plus side, you are all cured. Chi-Chi, you are brave now. Plimpton and Yoshi are getting along.
Ow! Remember, back!
Sort of. And Stubbins, you've made friends and you can even talk to them. You don't need me. I'll stay here and offer medical services to this island of random bandits and outlaws. The doctor's here! Seeking new patients! Cash only!
Ladies, gentlemen, who'd like to dance? I got a bad case of dancing fever, so watch out, it's infectious!
An orangutan dances.
Can't help him.
That explorer you told me about. She would have never given up. She was your wife, wasn't she?
You want to know the ironic bit?
I don't know what ironic means.
Irony is when you find a woman and she makes your life more wonderful than it had any right to be. And then poof, she's gone and it's all your fault. This journey was my chance to finish what she started.
Hiding nearby, Rasuli listens.
Lily insisted I care for the animals at home, so I stayed behind. Rasuli's right. I should have been with her.
All I have left of her is the ghost I see when I hold our ring.
So you see her, too.
Rasuli and a few of his guards approach.
Not only did you lose my daughter's journal, but your polar bear blew up my village, you know.
We don't know that.
Yoshi drops dynamite.
And your gorilla beat up my tiger. No good.
Rasuli takes a sword from a guard. Chi-Chi looks terrified.
Let's go.
Guards stop Doolittle.
No.
Rasuli eyes the blade. Pushing Stubbins aside, he puts the tip of the sword beneath Doolittle's chin.
Irony is me wanting to kill you with every fiber of my being. But loving my daughter.
Stunned, Doolittle looks at Rasuli. The king pulls the blade away and stares off wistfully.
I miss her too.
Using the weapon, Rasuli pats the doctor's chest.
She would have wanted you to keep going.
He taps Doolittle's head. As Rasuli starts away, the doctor and his animals look relieved. Rasuli turns back.
So!
Doolittle startles. The king gestures.
Keep going. Before I stop feeling sentimental.
Stubbins looks at Dab Dab.
She's saying we don't have a ship.
Well, I have the perfect vessel for you.
On a rundown ship.
Bit of a fixer-upper. It's got good bones.
At least it floats.
We'll just have to make the best of it, won't we?
Doolittle steps on a cannon and the floor breaks.
Ooh, company!
Who's that?
Hi! I'm Jeff!
Jeff stands trapped in a pillory. Later, Doolittle and Stubbins view maps.
If Liddy's research was correct, then Mudfly was well on his way to Eden Tree Island. All we needed to do was track Mudfly.
But how do we do that?
Whales, Boyle. Whales.
Two humpback whales swim in the ocean. One of them breaches next to the frigate. On the bridge, Moodfly studies the journal. He looks through a window, noticing the whale waving its massive flipper. With a perplexed smile, Moodfly waves back at it.
I can't believe you're flipping him off!
I know, that man has no chin!
In the cabin of the rundown ship, Doolittle puts on a straw top hat. He puts the hat on Stubbins. The boy smiles, then continues working. Glimpses show the pair studying maps. A map labeled the Baffling Archipelago depicts tall, curving rock formations in front of an island. At the bow, Stubbins holds Doolittle's feet as he tries to fix the wing of the unicorn figurehead. Whales surround the ship.
We found him! Follow us!
Later, the ship sails through fog toward a tall, curving rock formation. Stubbins smiles as he gazes off.
Eden Island.
Doolittle lounges nearby. The doctor perks up. The fog clears, revealing the island and rock formations from the Baffling Archipelago map. Doolittle rises to his feet and pats Stubbins on the shoulders. The animals gather around. Doolittle wears a satisfied smile.
Extraordinary.
The ship arrives at Eden Tree Island. Many rock formations surround it. An aerial view glides to a different part of the island where the frigate sits by the shore. Soldiers hustle around a camp set up at the mouth of an enormous cave. Moodfly sits with Lily's journal.
This must be it. The map points us directly into the center of this mountain.
On a narrow mountain ledge.
Don't look down. Let's keep our beaks up, should we?
Trying to stay positive. What the heck are we doing up here?
Going in the back way, my feathered buddy.
Kevin runs ahead.
What are you complaining about? This is the widest branch I've ever scurried on.
Don't look down. Look at me.
They enter a cave.
Whoa. A big cave.
Doolittle leads Stubbins and the animals.
Stay close. Keep quiet.
Kevin's log, day 12. Some force beyond my comprehension still compels me to follow this crew of lunatics, the squirrel killer, and their deranged leader. Perhaps it's the magic tree that draws me.
Hide the clothes. All in! Tootie down, no, stay down.
Doolittle pockets Minnie and they all hide. The doctor touches a boulder and it glows green under his hand. He stares open-mouthed as the glow spreads to a chamber up ahead.
Foxfire fungus. We must be near it now.
A waterfall cascades behind an opening in the cave wall.
Look, Doc. It's lighting a path all the way to the man who wants us dead.
Stay right there. Oh, boy. Go on then, soldier boy. Spoil yourself.
A soldier knocks Doolittle down. Two soldiers drag him toward Moodfly, who stands near the waterfall.
Hello, Blair. Get on, looking for a tree, is it?
Stubbins helps Doolittle up.
Trees don't often grow in caves. Didn't you pay attention in botany class?
No, but pay attention to this, Doolittle.
I beat you, you filthy animal. Come on, beast, hoarder!
Soldiers round up the animals. Moodfly walks to Doolittle.
So, where is it?
Where's what?
The Eden Tree.
Truth is,
I haven't got a clue.
Don't be ridiculous. You're John Doolittle. You get everything you want.
Not today, I don't.
You really don't have any idea, do you?
He shakes his head.
How does ignorance feel?
Oh, very freeing, actually. One must hug uncertainty, don't you think? That's how Lily lived her life.
Polly nods at Doolittle.
Embrace the unknown and the answers will be revealed.
You sad, misguided nut, Doolittle. Give that to me. Give me that.
Moodfly grabs a pole holding the British flag.
I
I find this damn tree on my own, and by God, history will remember me.
He plants the flagpole, creating cracks on the ground that glow like embers. They expand throughout the cave, covering the surfaces with fiery orange lines. Doolittle looks around.
Something interesting going on now.
The animals and soldiers glance around nervously. A strong gust of wind blows.
God, that feels a lot larger than all of us.
A column of rock pulsates with light. Expanding its wings, a dragon reveals itself on the column.
Look out!
Doolittle pushes Moonfly to safety as the dragon breathes fire. Soldiers flee. Doolittle gathers his crew in a hiding spot.
The lot of you! Come on!
Moonfly stares wide-eyed.
You saved me. I have a second chance to live a life of kindness and generosity. And...
Moonfly stands up behind a soldier facing the dragon.
Take him, not me! I'm a good person now!
He pushes the soldier, who gets snatched up by the dragon's tail. Moonfly steps backwards and falls down a chasm. The dragon spits onto the soldier, then opens its fiery jaws. Doolittle covers his eyes. Dab-Dab lays an egg. The dragon climbs up the cave and breathes fire.
What are we gonna do? We're gonna be a run for that ditch. Watch this.
The dragon's tail lands on Yoshi.
Get this off of me!
Teach!
Help me! Flip this!
I'll save you, bro!
Right. Think fast.
Get this off of me!
Plimpton pecks at the tail. Doolittle grabs a sword.
This will likely upset her a bit.
He stabs at the dragon and it coils its tail around him.
No! No!
Stubbins grabs his arm, but the dragon lifts Doolittle into the air. It breathes fire at the fleeing soldiers. Still holding Doolittle, the dragon turns to Stubbins and the animals, who look terrified. The dragon opens its mouth. It turns to Doolittle, who makes noises.
Is he speaking? Dragon.
The dragon talks back.
You may be able to speak my language, but that does not make you worthy of the fruit.
I know protecting the tree is your duty, but won't be able to continue much longer. Considering the damage you've taken and the pain you're in.
Oh, you know nothing of my pain.
The dragon glances off and Doolittle spots a dragon skull nearby.
But I do. I felt it as well. The kindness doesn't come from a bullet or a blade, but cuts much deeper. And now in every moment, in every movement, you feel that pain again. Yeah.
The dragon squeezes him with her tail.
It's hard to carry on.
She spits goo on him.
When you've lost the one you love.
The dragon opens her fiery jaws. Doolittle kisses Lily's ring. The dragon shuts her mouth, then swings Doolittle around. She lets the doctor go.
Just leave!
Looking weary, the dragon lies down. Stubbins and the animals look on.
What just happened?
Broken hearts.
What the heck are you doing here?
Don't worry, guys, I got this. We're both dragons. Hey, just wondering. You know, dragon to dragon. If you wouldn't mind telling me where...
She snorts fire at him.
She's really mad. I'll wait for whoever survives outside.
John, let's just get out of here while we still can.
No, I think we're here to help her.
He eyes the feeble dragon.
Yeah. We haven't got much time.
Doolittle reaches for her stomach.
I imagine it's a bit tender, yeah?
She glows red.
Oh.
He drops the sword.
I'm unarmed. I pose no threat to you. Emotional stress over the years has done damage to your stomach.
Get away from me!
You have a severe impaction of the colon. And if it don't manually fragment it, it'll go septic. You won't be able to protect anything anymore.
That sounds like some tummy ache.
Tell you what, give us 5 minutes. If you don't feel better, you can fry us all.
Stop talking! Just get on with it.
We have to get you on your side. We need to perform an emergency extraction.
Extraction? What are we pulling out?
Go get him, gang!
Got your back, Doc.
It's showtime.
The animals help.
3, 2, 1, turn!
They roll the dragon onto her side.
Chi-Chi, chuck me the forceps.
He catches a leak.
Knew it would come in handy.
Told ya.
Everybody knows what to do.
Just breathe. Works for me.
It's okay. Just hold on to my wing, sweetie. Dab Dab's here.
Oi! You are my apprentice. You keep her calm.
He points at Stubbins with the leak.
Did you know the leak is the national emblem of Wales? Very useful it is, too. You might feel a bit of pressure.
I got her.
Doolittle jabs the leak toward the dragon's backside.
Oh, good heavens!
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, my gosh!
Just clearing the way.
Is that armor?
You got the old Spanish army in you.
He removes a bone and pieces of armor.
Gives a deep breath. Hold it. Word of warning.
What's up, Doc?
When removing the blockage, you'll see now. There may be an initial release of wind.
Doolittle cringes as the strong wind blows in his face.
Respect.
It's all right. Nobody heard that.
Oh, nothing to be ashamed of. We all do it. We're all animals.
I can taste it.
Okay, I'm back. What did I miss? Oh, my God!
Doolittle reaches in the dragon.
This is a big one.
We're in the home stretch now.
Chi-Chi, get behind me.
I'm with you, Doc. On your call.
Chi-Chi helps Doolittle pull. The dragon lifts Plimpton.
Oh, it's breaching.
Blood rushing to my head. Everything turning red.
One last push, madam, if you please.
Doolittle pulls out bagpipes and falls backward. He sets the instrument aside.
Thank you.
The dragon's orange glow turns blue.
We did it!
Teamwork makes the
dream. Dab Dab hops onto Yoshi. Plimpton staggers.
That was a lot. We did good.
The dragon faces Doolittle.
To put it simply, more leafy greens and less armor in your diet.
I've seen armies of every kind, but nothing like you. What unites such a group of creatures?
Well, we may not look it, right? But somehow...
He eyes Stubbins and the animals.
We just belong together.
Now let me help you.
The dragon steps away. Doolittle shares a look with Stubbins and the animals. He signals for them to follow the dragon. She puts her giant wing through the waterfall, diverting the flow and revealing a tree beyond the opening.
Lily would have loved it, John.
We would never have found it without her.
Wow. I just got the chills. And I'm not even cold.
Doolittle approaches the tree and kneels by its gnarled roots. Glowing fruit hangs from its branches. The doctor looks to his friends nearby. Chi-Chi stands on Yoshi and Plimpton. The gorilla raises Dab Dab, and Kevin perches on her head. The squirrel reaches for a round, glowing fruit. Doolittle kisses the chain holding his and Lily's rings, then sets it on a root.
Thank you for showing me the way, my love.
The wedding bands transition to a ring-shaped solar eclipse viewed through the queen's bedroom window. As Rose gazes outside, the Archbishop, Lord Badgley, and others stand around the Queen's bed.
Thou canst yet raise her up and restore her to a longer continuance amongst us. O Father of mercies and Lord of all comfort,
I'm sorry. We couldn't save you, Your Majesty.
Her disillusion draweth near.
Rose approaches the Queen.
It is with great sadness.
Wait a minute. I smell something. It smells like...
Yoshi runs through the palace.
Hope!
That I have to announce...
The polar bear breaks down the doors.
...that the queen is no...
Somebody call a doctor!
My mate! A very dramatic entrance, boys. Well played.
We've arrived!
Doolittle!
Clear a path. This is a moment to waste.
Doolittle gets off Plimpton. Stubbins and Dab Dab hurry in.
I have procured that which you said did not exist. Behold, the fruit of the Eden tree.
He presents the glowing fruit.
I said clear a path.
Seize them!
Chi-Chi fights off guards.
Sorry, but...
Yoshi knocks more guards away. Leona grabs another with her tentacles. Doolittle eyes Stubbins.
Go.
A guard struggles to grab the boy. Doolittle holds Minnie.
You were born for this moment.
He gives her the glowing fruit.
Minnie, take flight!
Doolittle throws Minnie and she glides through the air. Stubbins slides under the queen's bed.
No.
Doolittle kicks away guards. Landing on the bed's canopy, Minnie drops the fruit. Stubbins emerges from under the bed and catches it. Doolittle watches as the boy squeezes the fruit over the queen's mouth. Two glowing drops land on her bottom lip. Gareth and other guards look on. Doolittle sits up, staring expectantly. Backing away, Stubbins stands beside Rose. A close view shows the queen's rosy lips. They part and she takes a breath. Rose and Stubbins grin. Lord Badgley looks displeased. The queen's eyes open and Rose beams at Stubbins. Doolittle gives a tearful nod. Kevin stands on a bedpost.
Kevin's log, day unknown. The killing has ended. Let there be life.
Lady Rose.
The girl lies by the queen.
Is there a giraffe in my bedchamber?
Yes. Oh, yes, and a polar bear, and a gorilla, and a parrot, and a duck, an ostrich.
Rose hugs her. Doolittle goes to the Turner painting.
A humble thanks be to God. And well done, Dr. Doolittle.
Not quite done, are we? Interest in carry-on sticks are more yours. Was I? Sticks here agreed to stay behind. Keep his 12 eyes on things. He's just catching me up. Like all leaf insects, he speaks in 8-syllable phrases. And he states, Lord Badgley did poison the queen. What? He did?
Really, Doolittle? This is too much.
You're certain? Well, this would be the time. No, I'm sorry, Sticks. It's quite adamant. In his right pocket, the vial. Oh, that's only 7. Oh, in his right pocket, the vial of deathly nightshade. Let's have a look, shall we?
You can't possibly believe that he's talking to an insect.
Well, I've spoken to ladybugs. Making a wish before they fly away.
Let's have a look.
Badgley takes Gareth's dagger and points it around the room.
Ooh.
He turns and finds Dab Dab, Yoshi, and Kevin behind him.
No one messes with my family. Take one more step and I'll rip you a brand new head.
Guards grab the Lord. Gareth retrieves the vial and shows it to the queen.
To the tower with him.
Ah, someone's been a bad boy.
Guards lay Badgley away.
Well, I don't know why you're all standing there. Nobody's died. Leave me in peace. You too.
The Archbishop bows, then leaves with the others.
Not you, Dr. Doolittle. A moment, if you would please.
Doolittle approaches the Queen's bed.
Lady Rose, who's this person and why is he staring at me?
He's Stubbins.
I want to be an animal doctor.
He saved your life.
Doolittle nods to the queen and she stops laughing. Rose gives Stubbins a kiss on the cheek. The queen extends her hand to Doolittle.
Thank you. It's good to have you back, doctor.
The doctor bows. Chi-Chi grunts. Doolittle starts away.
Polly!
Anything you'd like to say to me?
You were right, I suppose. It is nice to get out of the house every once in a while. Stubbins, Minnie, enough. We have far less important places to be.
Minnie flies into Doolittle's hat. The queen smirks. Cut to black. Daytime. At Doolittle Manor, a boy dangles in a net.
Our story ends the way it began.
I have a letter for Dr. Doolittle. Somebody get me down.
Mostly. There once was a peculiar doctor. Who found he was at his best when sharing his extraordinary ability with others.
Excellent.
Soon, Dr. Doolittle reopened his gates, as Lily would have wanted.
3 more in the queue, gang.
Copy that.
In the operating room.
Doolittle discovered his place in the world once again.
Stubbins and the animals assist the doctor. Stubbins' family sits in the observation room.
After all, It's only by helping others...
The manor gates close.
...that we can truly help ourselves.
The sign reads, Dr. Doolittle and Apprentice, all species welcome, will also consider far-flung voyages and magical adventures. Inquire within. As credits appear, paintings depict Doolittle, Stubbins, and the animals at Buckingham Palace. Directed by Stephen Gagan. Screenplay by Stephen Gagan and Dan Greger and Doug Mand. Woke me from my sleep. Screen story by Thomas Shepard. Woke me from a dream. The Queen Knights Doolittle. Produced by Joe Roth, PGA. Jeff Kirschenbaum, PGA. Produced by Susan Downey, PGA. The Queen presents medals to him, Polly, and the others. Executive producer, Robert Downey Jr. Executive producers, Sarah Bradshaw, Zachary Roth, Jonathan Liebsman. Director of photography, Guillermo Navarro, ASC. Production designer, Dominic Watkins. Edited by Craig Alpert, ACE. Chris Levenson, ACE. Costume designer, Jenny Beaven. Portraits feature the individual characters. Robert Downey Jr. Antonio Banderas. Michael Sheen. Jim Broadbent. Jesse Buckley. Harry Collett. Emma Thompson. Rami Malek. John Cena. Kumail Nanjiani. Octavia Spencer. Tom Holland. Craig Robinson. Ray Fiennes. Selena Gomez. Marion Cotillard. Kasia Smutniak. More colorful paintings depict the humans and animals. Ralph Ineson, Carmel Laniado, Frances Delatour, Jason Manzoukas, Joanna Page, Elliot Barnes Worrell. Casting by Lucy Bevins, CSA. Music by Danny Elfman. Visual effects supervisor, Nicholas Aithadi. Animation supervisor, David Shirk. A Universal Pictures presentation. In association with Perfect World Pictures. A Roth Kirschenbaum Films Team Downey production. A film by Stephen Gagan. A painting features Doolittle and all his animal friends. Doolittle. A gloved hand adjusts a tiny portrait of Styx. Cut to black.
Oh, and in case you're wondering...
In the cave...
Psst! You bats! Show me the way out of here!
Moodfly tries to communicate with bats. One bat opens its eyes and turns to another.
You understand me! Get away!
Dozens of bats swarm Moodfly. Cut to black. Credits roll. Second Unit Director, Simon Crane. Unit Production Manager, Sarah Bradshaw. Unit Production Manager, Simone Goodridge. First Assistant Director, William M. Connor. First Assistant Director, Chris Castaldi. Second Assistant Director, Matthew Haggerty. Second Assistant Director, Joey Coughlin. Co-producer, William M. Connor. Visual Effects Supervisor, John Dykstra. Visual Effects Producer, Tim Keane. Cast, Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. John Doolittle. Antonio Banderas as King Rasuli. Michael Sheen as Dr. Blair Moodfly. Jim Broadbent as Lord Thomas Badgley. Jesse Buckley as Queen Victoria. Harry Collett as Tommy Stubbins. Emma Thompson as Polly. Rami Malek as Chi-Chi. John Cena as Yoshi. Kumail Nanjiani as Plimpton, Octavia Spencer as Dab-Dab, Tom Holland as Jip, Craig Robinson as Kevin, Ray Fiennes as Barry, Selena Gomez as Betsy, Marion Cotillard as Tutu, Kasia Smutniak as Lily Doolittle, Carmel Laniado as Lady Rose, Frances Delatour as Dragon, Jason Manzoukas as James the Dragonfly, Ralph Ineson as Arnold Stubbins, Joanna Page as Bethan Stubbins, Sonny Ashbourne Circus as Arnold Stubbins Jr., Oliver Chris as Sir Gareth, Clive Francis as Archbishop, Paul Holowaty as Navy Man, Elliot Barnes Worrell as Captain William Derrick, Mark Umbers as Lieutenant, David Scheinkopf as Don Carpenterino, Sid Sager as Jeff the Prisoner, Martin Pemberton as Postman, Tim Treloar as Humphrey the Whale, Nick A. Fisher as Minnie the Sugar Glider, Jim Coretta as Beardmouse and Leona, Matt King as Clyde, Ranjani Brow, Kelly Stables, Scott Menville as Mice, Matthew Wolfe as Army Ant, Gia Davis, Henry Holcomb, Kyrie McAlpin, Isley Zamora as Baby Animals, Stuart Scudamore, Samson Cayo, John Luke Roberts as Pirates, Joseph Balderrama, Daniel Hoffman Gill as Prisoners. Stunt Coordinators, Simon Crane, Glenn Foster. Stunt Players, Eugenio Alonso Yenez, Ramon Alvarez, Luis Miguel Aranz Loza, Luis Miguel Aranz Villarreal, Christian Aranz Villarreal, Gary Arthurs, Benjamin Ashley, Daniel Audi, Russell Ballo, Callum Barnes, Lloyd Bass, Rochelle Bernhardt, Alex Brack, Scott Brady, Fred Brown, Grace Bruce, Katie Bullock, Dacio Caballero, Marvin Campbell, Carlos Castillo, Adam Collins, Joel Conlon, Rob Cooper, Matt Crook, Andrea Stavadinas, Shay Dempsey, Will Dent, Sam Dent, Maria Dent, Kelly Dent, Charlotte Dent, Bobby Dent, John Dent, Levon Duran, Harley Durst, Andy Eady, Mark Epstein, David Garrick, Paul Ginns, Nick Goody, Frankie Hackett, Richard Hall, Richard Hansen, Tom Hatt, Elliot Hawks, George Hayes, Lyndon Helliwell, Michael Hawley, Rob Hunt, Steve Jehu, Billy Joe White, Joe Kennard, George Kerb, Bogdan Kumsakij, Monty Lathrop, Andre Lane, Richard Leggett, Sarah Lachlan, Sonny Lewis, Angel Luis Gamea, Errol Mehmet, Men's Sana Tamklo, Stephen Mullins, Elliot Murray, Brian Nichols, Enos Noble, Pete Olivant, Robert Pavey, James Pavey, Martin Pemberton, Oleg Podobin, Chris Pollard, Tilly Powell, Eden Reyes, Zachary Roberts, Doug Robson, Allison Ryan, Hasid Savani, Matt Sharon, Anton Simpson Tidy, Graham Smiles, Ian Songhurst, Sam Steffen, Anna Stevenson, Matthew Sterling, John Street, Aaron Topham, Anushka Turner, Evie Twyford, Ed Upcutt, Pablo Verdeo, Ivo Von Bank, Christian Waite, Andy Wareham, Hayden Webb, Richard Wielden, Martin Wild, Donna Williams, Stunt Department Manager Matt Sampson, HOD Stunt Supervisor Diz Sharp, Stunt Riggers James Bomalik, Paul Harford, Animal Performers Jane Leaney, Josh Jeffries, Sean McKee, John Luke Roberts, Richard Soames, Supervising Art Director Matt Gray, Senior Art Directors Gary Tompkins, Paul Loggier, Art Directors Tom Whitehead, Tom Weaving, Will Kubrow, Peter Dorm, Alex Smith, VFX Art Director Matt Sims, Standby Art Director Peter James, Art Director Props Oliver Roberts, Assistant Art Directors Andrew Proctor, Matt Robinson, Art Department Coordinator Aisha Saeed, Art Department Assistant Coordinator Emma James, Art Department Researcher Nicola Barnes, Set Decorator Lee Sandales, Production Buyer Kate Venner, Lead Assistant Set Decorator Ben Barrington Groves, Assistant Set Directors Julie Graysmark, Joe Graysmark, Assistant Set Buyers Rachel Ziegelmeyer, Anne Marie Minty, Guy Mount, A Camera Operator Gary Spratling, B Camera Operator Dave Hamilton Green, C Camera Operator Malcolm McLean, First Assistant A Camera Julian Bucknell, Second Assistant A Camera Dave Pierce, First Assistant B Camera Robert Palmer, Second Assistant B Camera, Alex Bender. First Assistant C Camera, James Leckie. Second Assistant C Camera, Morgan Spencer. Central Loader, Alex Collings. Camera Trainee, Giles Taylor. DIT, Francesco Giardiello. Data Manager, Will Gardner. DIT Assistant, Lincoln Benjamin. Soundtrack on Backlot Music. Original, written by Sia Furler, Jesse Shatkin, Sean Douglas, performed by Sia. This motion picture used sustainability strategies to reduce its carbon emissions and environmental impact. Green is universal. Copyright 2020 Universal Studios and Perfect Universe Investment, Inc. All rights reserved. Universal Studios and Perfect Universe Investment, Inc. are the authors of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Universal Pictures. Read by Xanthi Page. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Team Downey.